Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srila Prabhupada gave us Srimad Bhagavatam. Among the many gifts that Srila Prabhupada gave us, Srimad Bhagavatam is the one which he personally put so much time into and gave so much attention to. He, in one letter, he stated that he wanted to retire from activities of managing ISKCON so that he could just concentrate on translating Bhagavatam. He said, I can give up the activities of managing ISKCON, but I can't give up my translation of Bhagavatam because that is my specific service to my spiritual master. So Bhagavatam is the topmost exposition of reality given by Vedvyas, and Shukamakad Amrita Drava Sangitam has become even sweeter, being treated by Shukarishi, Shukadev. Bhagavatam gives us the Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, the scientific knowledge, systematic knowledge of the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukta Sangasya Jayate, by which one becomes freed from material entanglement. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he prefaced his edition of Bhagavatam with a summary of the teachings and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Bhagavatam, prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had been commented upon by many great Vaishnava Acharyas, but it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who gave the innermost purport of the Bhagavatam. In the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are summarized by one of his discipular followers, Srinath Chakravarti. He says that, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayastad Dhamma Vrindavanam. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipable. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas. He is the son, even though he's the Lord of everyone, he's the son of the king of Vrindavan, namely Nanda Maharaj, and Tad Dhamma Vrindavana. His place of residence is Vrindavan. Ramyaka Chid Upasana Vrajabadhu Vargena Yakalpita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized. The topmost method of worship of that Supreme Personality of Godhead is that conceived of by the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost evidence. It's completely pure evidence about all these matters. And prema pumarto mahan, the topmost achievement for all humans is to attain prema, pure love of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu matamidam tatradaro na paraha. Sri Chaitanya Matamidam. This is the teaching or the outlook of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we as his followers accept that as supreme. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as the topmost exposition of reality and prema as the topmost achievement of every person. And particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found in the Bhagavatam Srimati Radharani, who was hidden, not very apparent. Now, We are sitting here in the temple of Prahlad Narsimha, and we find throughout the Bhagavatam there is discussion of various of the pastime forms, lila avatars and other avatars. There is a description of all the das avatars, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamana, Parashuram, Ramachandra, Balaram, Krishna, if you want to include Buddha, Kalki, and others also. So here we're worshipping Prahlad and Narsimha. And what's going on between Prahlad and Narsimha? What's the point? Why is that story or that narration of Prahlad and Narsimha in the Bhagavatam? What's the significance? We might think, well, there are so many stories from all over the world, killing dragons and all kinds of things like that. So we might think it's some antediluvian fairy story, something like this. But the fact that the Supreme Lord has come in the form of a half lion and half man to kill the rascal, Maharascal, Hiranyakashipu, that is not the central point. The central point is the affection of Prahlad for Narsimha and Narsimha for Prahlad, the pure devotion of Prahlad, Mahabhagavato Mahan. He's a great devotee among there are Bhagavatas, they're devotees. And they're Mahabhagavats, great devotees. And Prahlad is described in Bhagavatam as even among great devotees, Prahlad is great. So there are many such descriptions. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a pious king. There have been many pious kings in the history of India. It's an extinct species. There are still rulers, but in Kali Yuga, the rulers are their business is Mlechaste Bhakshiyashanti. What is that? Prajaste Bhakshiyashanti. Mlecha Rajanya Rupina. Their business is to simply exploit the citizens, the lowest class of people who have taken the position of the rulers of humankind. But there have been many pious kings, and many of their names are listed in Bhagavatam, but especially we hear about Yudhishthira. Why? Of course, there are many special things about him, but the most special thing is that he has a very strong love for Krishna. So this is the point. There are many instructions within Bhagavatam, many things to be learned at many levels, but the whole message to be imbibed is that of Bhagavat Prem, love for the Supreme Lord in his various forms. He inspires the love of the devotees. So how much love does Prahlad have for Narsimha? We can't measure. There's nothing to measure. Still, it may be said that even though the love of devotees like Prahlad, it's unlimited, but still there's some gradation, is there? Otherwise it couldn't be said Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargaina Ya Kalpita, that the love of the gopis is the topmost level. That is the best. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita we find there's a gradation. Not that there's anything lacking in the love of any pure devotee, but still the love of some of them is more intense than others. So, Prahlad has unlimited love for Krishna, and she's a devotee of Krishna. He was before Narsimha appeared, he was meditating on Krishna, and Krishna appeared as the Narahari form, Keshava Dhrita Narahari Rupa. Keshava, Krishna, who took the form of a man lion. So, Narahari. Nara means man, and Hari means lion. That's right, yeah. Generally we think Hari means the Supreme Lord, but another meaning of the word Hari is lion. So Narahari means man-lion. It doesn't mean man-god. I mean, in this context, it means man-lion. So, we hear about these devotees, we meditate on them, we pray for their mercy. They're all full of love of Krishna. And he is full of love for them. Narahari came, of course, to destroy Hiranyakashipu, but the real reason, why to destroy Hiranyakashipu? Because Hiranyakashipu was torturing his devotee, Prahlad. And because Prahlad, when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where is your God? Is he in this pillar? Prahlad said yes. So then Krishna thought, well, now I have to show, because my devotee said I'm in the pillar, so I have to show myself. Otherwise Hiranyakashipu will be he'll say, just see, there's no evidence. There's no evidence of God. You said God's in the pillar, but we didn't see him. Hiranyakashipu got a real shock. He didn't expect. Yeah. God's in the pillar? Of course there's no God in the pillar. What nonsense you're talking. I'll break open the pillar just to show that you're talking nonsense. He really didn't expect that. It was not predictable by the laws of physics. It was a singularity. Yeah, it's not any pillar that you break it that Nrsimha will come out of that. He came out for the love of Prahlad. So, there are, how many devotees are there? Pure devotees. How many? Every day we say, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Koti means 10 million. And it's generally taken as a large number. Just like in English, you say, oh, there are millions of reasons why we should avoid Krishna consciousness. That's what the materialists say. For millions, it's just used as some to indicate just more than you can count or imagine. So Ananta Koti means unlimited. There are unlimited devotees, pure devotees, and all of them have pure devotion for Krishna. It means nothing else in their consciousness, nothing else to think of, no other ambition, deep love for Krishna. Now, the fountainhead of all love for Krishna, you may think, wait a minute, why are we talking all this? We're supposed to be talking about Radha. Well, we're getting there. That she is the fountainhead of all love for Krishna. Whatever love anyone has, that is all coming from her. She is Hladini Shakti. She is that potency of Krishna, who is non-different from him. Because Shakti, Shakti Matara Bhedaha. The potent and the potency are non-different. The Shakti, the potency cannot be intrinsically separate from the potent. The potency is not independent of the source of the potency. So the Hladini Shakti, that means which the potency by which he feels pleasure. Ahlada. We sing Prahlada Ahlada Dayine. That's a name for Nrsimha Devi. Prahlad means very happy. So, Prahlada Lada Dayin means he who gives pleasure to Prahlad. Prahlad is happy because he's always thinking of Nrisimha. So who gives happiness to Krishna is Radha. And Krishna, he's not just some little insignificant person. He has everything imaginable and unimaginable at his disposal. He's not a very easy person to satisfy. I'll give you a diamond ring, my friend, if you say you're satisfied, as the song goes. So for a poor person who doesn't have a diamond ring, if you give them a diamond ring, they may feel very happy. But if you already have one diamond ring for every finger, for every day of the week, then to be given a diamond ring won't satisfy you in the same way. So Krishna has all the diamond mines and all the diamond shops, and everything belongs to Krishna. What will satisfy Krishna? Krishna is satisfied with leaf, flower, fruit or water, if offered with love. That's the whole point. Krishna is satisfied with love, and the very form of intense feelings of love, Mahabhava Swarupini, is Radha. So she gives Krishna pleasure by her love, and she's expert in all kinds of arts, dancing and cooking and teaching parrots to speak and making riddles and all kinds of things. There's 64 arts. But they're all media to satisfy Krishna. So she is the very form of pure love, and her love is... even a drop of her love for Krishna exceeds that of all the Ananta Koti Vaishnava, all the unlimited numbers. All of their love put together is not comparable to even a drop of her love. And even though Krishna, in the Rasa Leela, there were so many gopis, but without Radha, the whole Rasa Leela couldn't satisfy him. So we get some insight. Just from a very miserable position, a little frog in a well, trying to understand through our constricted senses, through a tiny intelligence, our consciousness always running towards sense gratification, thinking that I'm the body, thinking in terms of how I can promote myself and be recognized and live comfortably, and all kinds of petty, miserable desires and misconceptions. Through all of this, we have heard, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, some news of the spiritual world. We've heard about pure love for Krishna. We've heard about Radha's love for Krishna. So through all the fog of our misconceptions and our material attachments, we can start to hear something and maybe start to appreciate at some level what we're doing in this Krishna consciousness movement. We're supposed to be becoming free from material attachments, becoming attached to Krishna. And attached to Krishna means Radha Krishna. The Gauriya Vaishnavas, their whole meditation, how to please Krishna. Not that I will worship Krishna and I will get liberation, but how we can please Krishna. So we learn that Krishna, he can be pleased via Radha. So all our service is to be offered through the parampara system. We worship our guru, who worships his guru, who worships his guru, who worships his guru, and eventually up to Radha, who offers everything to Krishna. The guru is said to be a representative of Srimati Radharani, because the guru is supposed to teach how to serve Krishna selflessly, following in the line of acharyas from Srimati Radharani. So the whole aim then is to please Krishna. What can we do to please Krishna? We're very tiny and insignificant, but he is very kind. He'll accept our service if it's offered through the parampara system. Srila Prabhupada on a Radhashtami lecture said that we should try to please Radha, because even if we are unqualified, if she points to Krishna, if she points us out to Krishna and says, someone is offering you some service, please accept it, then Krishna has to accept it, because Krishna is obliged to Radha. So Krishna, we hear about his qualities, but all his qualities, we may appreciate them, but we should know they are especially manifest for pleasing Radha. As she is interested in pleasing him, he is interested in pleasing her. Just like a peacock dances. We may also see and appreciate, but that dancing is meant for the pleasure of the peahen. That is a specific object. Sometimes in Radha and Krishna also appreciating the dancing of the peacock and the peahen, they themselves take those forms and dance. There are so many wonderful things in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So topics of Radharani are very intimate, very deep, very special. We cannot appreciate them without being purified and without getting the mercy of Nityananda. The connection is there, Nityananda to Radha. That by the mercy of Nityananda, this Arkobi Nitai Chanda Karuna Hoi Beishong Shara Bhashana Mo Kobi Tucha Hobe Vishoi Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobe Man Tobe Hama Heribo Sri Vrindavan. That by the mercy of Nityananda, then we become free from sinful desires. The mind becomes purified. Then we can see Vrindavan. Nitaya karuna habe braje radha krishna pabe. By the mercy of Nityananda, one can attain Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So this is not something very small. It's so big. Such a big idea. You may think it's some stories, but no. There's a great mistake to think that Radha Krishna Leela is some stories and we have easy access to it. We should understand how great are Radha and Krishna. How exalted is that love. It's not that we can spend our whole life engaged in some petty activities of just living in this world and then come to the temple on Radhashtami and sing Radhe, 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 and all of a sudden we have Radha Prem. But it's not such a cheap thing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was not satisfied in seeing that so many people are calling themselves Vaishnavas and they'll sing Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. He wasn't satisfied. He wanted to establish what is the dignity of our acharyas in worshipping Radha. Not that it's such a cheap thing that anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place, whenever they feel like it, they can just be Krishna conscious, and then the rest, and they can go on with their life more or less like a materialist, and then when they feel like it, they can imagine themselves to be a devotee. But no, devotion means surrender. Rupa Goswami, I wanted to sing that song, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. So anyone can sing. But to get the mercy of Rupa Goswami, we should follow the process given by him. Rupa Goswami gave us so much literature by which we could access the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. In the beginning of spiritual life, we have to understand teachings of Gita. Then we come to Bhagavad Gita. Then we come to Bhagavatam. Gita is a great ocean. Srimad Bhagavatam is another huge ocean. Chaitanya Charitamrita, we progress. And then we can go to the writings of the Goswamis who have revealed so many pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami revealed so many. Raghunath Das, he revealed so many. The pastime, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Rahumor Ash Pratana Kureshada. What is that? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rupa Raghunatha Pade. What is that? I'm getting mixed up. Rahu Mora Ash Pratana. Anyway, this well known line at the end of every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahi Krishna Das. So, taking shelter of Rupa and Raghunath, who revealed Radha Leela, Krishna's Kaviraj, he compiled Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So these are not the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they are the very highest level of spiritual life. Rupa Goswami, on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gave the introduction to spiritual life in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu with the rules and regulations of devotional service. So we should follow that carefully and not take Radha Leela to be something very cheap. We should worship as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wanted to restore the dignity that people who had no intention of following any rules and regulations of even moral life, and they say, well, that's not important. You just have to love, and they're not even clean, and they're doing deity worship, so-called deity worship. So he wanted to restore that dignity. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if there's some time, I can read quickly. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his eternal form and internal ecstasy. He is a great devotee of Radharani. How he behaved, so hard outside, so soft inside. So this is a chapter from Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, a book which I compiled about Srila. Vaibhava means grandeur, glory. So this is about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this chapter is called His Eternal Form and Internal Ecstasy. In his writing, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had intimated his Siddha Swarup to be Kamala Manjari, a young gopi, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had declared Srila Gaurkishor Das Babaji to be Guna Manjari. In a letter to Kunja Bihari Prabhu in 1921, Srila Saraswati Thakur wrote of his internal feelings and position on the spiritual plane. He wrote as follows. Sri Vishabhanu Nandini, which means Radharani, addresses her young maidservant as Nayana Mani Manjari and wants her always by her side, but sometimes she cannot be with her. Vimala Manjari, who is ever connected with Nayana Mani Manjari, being deprived of the association of Sri Radha, leaves on the pretense of severing ties with Nayana Mani Manjari. Yet it is the very nature of Vimala Manjari to assure that Nayan Mani Manjari perpetually engages in service to Sri Varshabhanavi Devi. Yeah, this book, if you've read all of Srila Prabhupada's books, then you could follow it more easily. When sometime later Ananta Vasudeva Prabhu told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that in a dream he had seen him as Nayan Mani Manjari in Raja, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati simply laughed. Thereafter his followers were convinced that his Siddha Swarup was Nayan Mani Manjari, a young assistant gopi who is the personification of the aspect of Radha that is dearest to Krishna. Nayana Mani literally means the jewel or pupil of the eye and figuratively denotes an item most treasured. From Krishna's perspective, the very form of Sri Radha is most enchanting. In her form, her face is most enchanting. In her face, her eyes are most enchanting. And in her eyes, the pupils, Nayana Mani, are most enchanting. From Radha's standpoint, her Nayan Mani are her most precious possession, being her means for beholding Krishna. In other words, her eyes are most dear to her, because by her eyes she can see Krishna. Wishing to alleviate Radha and Krishna's pains of separation, Nayana Mani Manjari always desires their union so that each may satisfy the other's only desired object of vision. In other words, they can see each other. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's state persona contrasted with the expressive Bengali psyche and the showy displays of Prakriti Sahajiyas. His ecstasy was demonstrated in practical service to Lord Chaitanya's mission. In his incessant drive to preach, his very life was kirtan, much of which focused on refuting worldly misconceptions and establishing the absolute truth. Yet such didacticism was not, per se, the inner purpose of his kirtan, which had been disclosed to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and conveyed by him in a series of instructions to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Hridaye balila keba dayata dashera seva gopi dhana katha kirtan. Someone spoke in my heart, the service of dayata das is to glorify topics of Sri Krishna, the wealth of the gopis. Through this couplet, his kirtan was revealed as a projection of his nitya seva to Sri Sri Radha Govinda onto the plane of Sankirtan in Gaura Lila, and indicated that hearing from him or assisting him in his service of broadcasting Harikatha is equivalent to or the means to acquire eligibility for seeing that which is most dear to Radha and Krishna. During a lecture in 1933, Srila Saraswati Thakur similarly hinted of the higher goal of his mission. I had many points to make about Shuddha Bhakti and topics of Mahaprabhu that should be preached, but before saying these things, I have taken up much of your time with introductory talks. If the Lord wills, I shall be able to elaborate all these subjects. Srila Saraswati Thakur also said that the words Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajesha Tanayaha from a famous verse summarizing the teachings of Sri Gaurasundara indicate that Radha is to be worshipped along with Vrajendra Nandana, and further elaborated that the supreme duty of Gauriyas is to serve the Vrajavasis in their distress of separation after Krishna left for Mathura. This service being the essence of the multifarious services performed by Srila Saraswati Thakur, it expanded as the intrinsic yet esoteric and generally unstated aim of all activities of the Gauriya Math, namely to bring jivas toward the platform of serving the superlative expression of unatojvala rasa in Radha Dasya. His innermost appetency was likewise revealed in his Bengali presentation of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. Srivarsha Bhanavi Devi Kabe Dayata Dashere Kundatire Shth Bhanadebe Nija Jana Kore. When will the daughter of Vrishabhanu make this servant of her beloved her own and give him a place on the bank of Radha Kund? Although undoubtedly ever immersed in the intense bliss of Prema Bhakti, Srila Sarasvati Thakur was reticent to reveal his inmost feelings, yet he could not always contain his whirling emotions, and sometimes his natural ecstatic love became visible to everyone. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati treasured Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Vilap Kusamanjali and Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati's Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, both highly confidential expressions of plangent longing for service to Radha. In intimate moments with disciples, he occasionally cited Vilap Kunjamanjali, Kusamanjali, verse 102. Asha Bharai Amrita Sindhu Mayai Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratam Hi. Tvam Chet Kripam Mayi Vidhasyasi Naiva Kingme Pranan Rajena Cha Varoru Bakarinapi. There is a hope sustaining me and nurturing my existence. With this expectation, I somehow pass my days, dragging my life through these drawn-out times. That nectarous ocean of hope is attracting me and keeping me alive. But my patience has reached its end. I can no longer endure. I cannot wait another moment. If you, Radharani, do not immediately show your grace to me, I am finished. I will lose all hope forever. I will have no desire to continue my life, for it would be totally useless. Without your grace, I cannot bear to live another moment. And Vrindavan, more dear to me than my very life, I am disgusted with it. It is painful, ever pinching me. Shameful though it be to utter such words, I can have no love even for Krishna unless you take me within your confidential camp of service. O Radha, if I do not get your favor, then I want nothing else. I want you and you alone to have an independent relationship with anyone else. Eliminating you is impossible for me. You must be first, then others. Without you, I can never even think of a separate relationship with Krishna. Upon reciting this verse, Srila Sarasvati Thakur would become transfixed and overcome with emotion, his face like that of a phantom. He also stated that the meaning of his name, Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Dayata Das, was made clear by the last two lines of this stanza. O Radha, if you are not merciful to me, then of what use are Krishna, Vraja, and even life itself? During a conversation with Sri Sharadindu Narayana Rai in Calcutta in November 1930, the first verse of Vilap Kusamanjali flashed into Srila Sarasvati Thakur's mind, and he recited it. Tvam Rupamanjari Sakhi Pratita Puresmin Pung Sa.